failed to let you know why Polly is not here. She had the wonderful opportunity of visiting her father and sister in West Virginia last week, had a great trip, and she's now back. Praise the Lord and thank the Lord. But she's tired, and I gave her a day of rest, and it was a really good trip. She blessed her father, blessed her sister, and in turn brought a blessing back with her. But on her trip, as she was traveling from Morgantown to from Pittsburgh to Morgantown in a rental car, she had an accident. And she was not hurt, but it was a very frightening experience in which someone left a barrel in the middle of the road, and it could not be avoided, and she ran into it. So, you know, in the whole scheme of things, you know, accidents happen. It's people that matter, you know. Cars and barrels can be replaced. But just want to let you know about that. Keep her in your prayers, and I know that she'll be back next week. I always, you know, tell her that it was a good service, but I am sure that she had a good service worshiping as well, because we always make Sunday a day of worship wherever we are, whether we're here, at home, or away. Our scripture today is, first of all, I'll change it from what it says in the bulletin. The scripture will be from Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 6, and verse 8. Listen to the word of God. The Lord said to Moses, "Cut two tablets of stone like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and do not let anyone be seen throughout all the mountain, and do not let flocks or herds graze in front of that mountain." So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the former ones, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name, the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord is a God of mercy and grace, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped. And he said, "If now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance." I also want to read from the Epistle of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and verse 25. And this has to do with the fruit of the Spirit, generosity. "By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The story of the Bible can be summed up like this. It's the story of God's covenant making with us, despite our covenant breaking. I'll say that again. The story of the Bible can simply be summed up like this. The story of the Bible is the story of God's covenant making with us, despite our covenant breaking. And so in our scripture today, God has not given up on his people. He's not given up on Moses. And he's asked Moses to bring those two tablets, cut two fresh tablets, bring them up on the top of the mountain, and they're going to start all over again. Because in this very story, God revealed his nature. His nature is one of abundant, generous mercy and grace. And so we see a good and gracious God who once again makes sure that that covenant is made with his people. And in times in which it's broken, it's renewed again. And that opportunity is given over and over and over and over again throughout this whole book. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to look at God. God won't let us go. He makes a covenant with us. We may break it, but he pursues us. And we renew that covenant over and over again. And so in response to this God of generosity, Moses did what I think any of us would do. He simply was in awe of God's goodness, and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And that's a good illustration right there of what worship's all about. Worship is always our response to a God who overwhelms us with generous love and generous mercy and generous gifts. And our worship is always a response to what God has done for us in the gift of Jesus Christ. And so that's what our worship is always about. You know, we don't worship God to earn God's love. We worship God because we're loved by God. We don't worship God in order to be forgiven by God. We worship God because we know that God does indeed forgive us. We don't worship God to receive mercy. Rather, we worship God because we know he's a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Worship is the thanks that cannot be stopped. It is the desire to say thank you to one who is so good. We know there's no way we can repay. But what else could we do than just simply bow down and say thank you? And I love that. I love to see the posture of worship in Moses. Moses was a true leader. He set for the example of his people what it meant to worship by going first. But not only is worship a response to God's generosity, we respond to God's generosity also by a lifestyle of giving ourselves to others. We respond by developing a lifestyle of generosity. We respond to God's goodness and grace and mercy by saying, "Dear Lord, produce that fruit of generosity in us so that we may live out of the overflow of your goodness and bless others." And so that's why I read Galatians. But by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And so part of our response to God is that we want to become like him. And the only way we can come like him is not by gritting our teeth and trying harder, but by saying, "Dear Lord, may your Spirit live in us and grow in us and develop within us the spirit of generosity." Because we're supposed to be different when we leave this place. We should be different today. We should be different tomorrow. We should be different every day of our life. Because we're always responding to the God who, first of all, was generous to us. And so today we come to a time of commitment. And on our pledge card, you know, we commit ourselves not just to our financial resources, but we commit ourselves, you know, of our presence, our prayers, our gifts, our service, our witness. We commit ourselves to a whole lifestyle of generosity, not in just one area of our life, but we commit ourselves again. And I think it's a time for the church to kind of say, let's check our hearts. Because we are a people who live by blessings, not by rights. There are people who stand on their rights and say, "I stand on my rights." We don't do that. We say, "I live by my blessings." And we know how blessed we are. And so this is a time in my life, in your life, in the life of our church, where we have a heart check. Where we ask ourselves, how have we done? And the good news is, we have a whole nother year now to make new decisions. And you know what? It doesn't matter how much you give. It counts. When given out of love, when given with a cheerful spirit, God loves a cheerful giver. But insofar as we can, we seek to do more. As is possible, we seek to grow in our stewardship of finances. And so our church has done that. This is my 29th year here. And I remember every year we have grown in the spirit of generosity at this church, or we would not be here right now. And so we're preparing to look out into the future of what's going to be out there for opportunities of ministry. And, well, we're in a whole new season now of looking ahead for the new buildings and facilities that will enable us to serve our community better and all these kinds of things. And we should indeed have a spirit of tremendous anticipation and excitement. And that in itself should prompt us to say, hey, I want to be a part of what God's doing. And I've thought a little bit about this. How do you grow in a lifestyle of generosity? Well, you start wherever you're at. You know, sometimes people put the standard up so high and you go, okay, I'll try that. It never works. Because you always got to start where you are. But you grow from where you are to where God can take you. And so here's a couple of little simple things that I try to put into practice in terms of growing in the spirit of generosity or participating in what God wants to do in me and through me. And it has to do with a mindset. And there's three things that go into the mindset of a person who's generous. The first thing is this. We know how blessed we are. We know how blessed we are. And the second thing that goes into our mindset is that we live with a mindset of plenitude rather than a mindset of scarcity. You know what that means? That means that we believe that God can provide whatever is needed. God can provide whatever we lack. God can do what we can't do. We can give because God will continue to give more seed to the sower. But when we say there's not enough, we hold back. I can't share because I don't know if I'll have enough. There's not enough to go around, so I'm going to get mine. Maybe you'll get yours. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, but do we mean it? Because we eat our bread and we don't think about those who have no bread. But when we know there's enough bread in this world to feed everybody in this world, we are not satisfied. There's enough to stop world hunger. Because God gives us enough to provide. And so we live with the mindset of plenitude, not scarcity. Scarcity makes us stingy and greedy. The third thing that we use in developing our mindset is this. I put into practice the habit of open hands. Some people worship with open hands. Some people pray with open hands, either seated or standing. But every once in a while, I just open my hands and I say, you know, I'm going to practice open hands. And what that reminds me of is that my hands are open to give of myself. My hands are open to be a giver. What we also need to be reminded of is when our hands are open, we can receive more gifts from God. It's the hand that's closed that neither can give nor can receive. And so I ask myself every day, are my hands open or closed? Those three things, a mindset of generosity, to always remember how blessed you are, to live with an attitude of plenitude rather than scarcity, and to live with the discipline of the open hands. And then every day, you can develop your own breath prayer or your own little prayer to pray to just to sort of steer you in the right way. And so I was thinking about, well, okay, if I'm going to share it with people to do, then I've got to do it myself. You know, it's kind of funny how I came up with this idea for today. I was reading in the sports pages the other day. This is a hard season for Duke fans. Is even a harder season for Carolina fans. So I'm reading in the sports page. They're talking with Larry Fedora. And they're saying, man, how in the world are you making it? And he says, well, you know, I keep doing what I've always done. I begin the day with a little affirmation. And he says, every day I say this. I say it out loud. As a matter of fact, I've said it so many times out loud, my wife said, listen, I know that. Go say it somewhere else. And he says, sometimes I'll speak it out loud, sometimes I'll say it in silence, but my wife can attest to the fact that I do indeed say this every day. And here's what he said. This is going to be a great day. I cannot fail. I can only learn and grow. He says that on the days that he wins. He says that on the days that he loses. He says that every day. And that's how he can grow in the virtue of perseverance. And so now we come to this question of, well, How can we persevere with this generosity idea? Well, we've got to start the day with something for ourselves. And here's something that I've came up with. Lord, I know that I'm blessed. I have everything I need in you. My cup overflows. Today, I will choose to be generous to someone. By a word I say, or an action I take. Regardless of whatever else happens today, I will choose to be generous to someone else. By a word I say, or an action I take. You see, we grow in the discipline of generosity. We grow daily. We don't achieve it in a day. We achieve it daily, saying over and over and over again, I choose to be generous. So I invite you to think about how you will live into that in the days ahead. And as we come now to our time of turning in our commitment cards, let me also remind you that if you're not ready to do that today, it's okay. You can still get it in. We obviously would encourage you to do that. We also want to let you know this, that when people in our church have a need, we try to take care of them, because there are those times in your life when it's hard to give. And I know that we're not doing enough to help those who truly have needs. But our church needs to be generous. And so part of what your gifts goes towards is the opportunity for us to bless those within our own congregation. as well as our community and our world. Let us stand, and you may bring your commitment cards to the front.